Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast. Let's see if your kind heart is stronger than my deep hatred. Guys, today we are back with part of our Rotten Film Drive-Ins. You know, every summer we do a drive-in series here at Systematic Geekology, just quick little movie reviews during the summer. And this year our theme is Rotten Films, to go along with our annual theme of like polarization, finding the good. And like, it's hard to find the good in some of these rotten films. And we're excited for this. I am Joshua Knoll here with Evan Garcia. And if you guys want to hear more episodes in this series from some of our other hosts, there will be a link in the show's description with the entire series of rotten films we're doing this summer. So far, we've been about 50-50 on whether or not we agree. We'll see how it holds up at the end of the summer. All right, jumping right in. Evan, imagine we just left the drive-in. We watched The Captain America 1990, that wasn't even released in theaters in America, but for some reason it's in the drive-in. We watched it last weekend. We just, you know, we're chilling, got in the car, drove up, saw it. What's your first reaction? We leave the drive-in, you look at me and you say what?
I say, can I have a time machine to 2010 so I can see the concept art for the new Captain America and then be excited for Captain America again?
Because you want to go back in time to 2010 after watching it and be like, all right.
Yeah, because I remember when that concept art for the new Captain America dropped, the LMCU, and I was like, that is amazing. And I remember watching this a few years ago and just like, nope, this isn't it.
Oh, the MCU one you watched a few years ago, you didn't like it?
I did. Yes, I did like it.
Okay. You're talking about, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, it's so funny. I remember watching the MCU one in theaters, and just because, like, when I grew up, you know, 1990 was before I was born. This movie was unheard of to anyone in our generation. I had a Captain America hat that I had an uncle had to sew on a patch for me.
Oh, cool.
No one knew who he was. No one knew Marvel heroes when I was, you know, like, other than Spider-Man and like Fantastic Four. That was it. Maybe X-Men.
Yeah. I knew about him because my dad's favorite comic book character was Thor. So I knew of him through osmosis, basically.
Yeah. I feel you. I feel like if I were leaving the drive-in, and I think my first words to you, I don't even know, man. Like, I don't even know what you say. Like, I just... I'm probably just laughing, man.
I would have laughed too, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe my first words would have been like, man, that was a great Ronnie Cox film. maybe I don't know, terrible Captain America film. But the president, he was great. Just Captain America.
Yes.
Yeah. we're going to get into it, though. So this episode coming out on 4th of July, because we always release them on Fridays. And we were like, wait, 4th America. Of July, Friday. We had to find an America bad film. This one was so bad, it released in Russian theaters, but not in American theaters. That's how bad this Captain America film was. We reviewed.
Because they had to rush to make it. Ayo.
Oh. But, you know, I picked it because we wanted something America. It was cool. I don't know. I don't know what to say about what else to say about it. Other than, you know, let's just talk about the film. Evan, if you had to just give like a quick summary, just like highlights or lowlights of this film, how would you summarize this 1990 Captain America film?
I will summarize it as a globe-trotting time travel fiasco. Well, what about time travel? Time crossing expansiveness?
Yeah.
Fiasco with a bad guy.
So starring Matt Salinger, who is the child of the author of Catcher in the Rye, which is kind of weird.
I think
the basics, they change a lot. No, they change a lot. They change some weird stuff that I don't understand why they change. A kid from Italy is abducted. He's tested on, becomes the Red Skull, evil bad guy who's part of Nazis, because why not? And to combat him, the same person who created him was like, wait a minute, I'm going to help the Americans. I don't like that they did that to a kid. So did the same experiment on to Steve Rogers, who's like, cool, I'm a superhero now. Except for he's a superhero who's, I think he beat maybe one person the entire film. He loses a lot, runs a lot, gets shot a lot, and misses a lot when he throws his shield. That's all he does in this film. He's a terrible hero. But it's fine. He gets strapped to a rocket because that's what bad guys do. He is able to redirect the rocket. Some little kid, for some reason, is able to see it from the ground and goes, wow, that guy just saved the White House. Inspires that kid, gets inspired to become the president one day after doing a lot of other really cool stuff. Eventually, the rocket is found in Alaska. Steve Rogers is thawed out, confused because he's in a new time, thinks everybody's Nazis, runs away, escapes. Red Skull's doing some more Red Skull stuff, so he's like, well, we got to defeat him, and obviously the only way to do that is to discover his name. So then they go around in Italy for a while, discover that Cap's good at running away and can ride a bike into water. Unsure. Mm-hmm. It ends with a final, fight scene on top of like a evil castle with a piano that's also a bomb.
What?
Yeah.
I was like,
I think that's the film, basically. Yeah. So I was like, wait, why is the piano a bop? I think part of what they were trying to do is like the kid was playing the piano and he was like an expert piano player, like Red Skull when he was a kid in this film. Mm-hmm. So I think they were trying to do like a callback to like his childhood and like, hey, this trauma's still with him. But man, evil piano on top of evil castle with these really campy costumes. And it's like, this is like the world's worst version of Power Rangers. And I was so confused. It's like, what's happening here?
And he puts the music up, and that's supposed to do something to the guy.
Yeah, and instead of Captain America like out fighting him, he was like, "Hey, here's some memories from when you were a kid." And it's like, what's happening? There's like Cap's relying on trauma response to defeat him.
that's exactly it. But I didn't know
all the cuts are weird.
Oh my god, the cuts! So many close-ups. Just quick close-ups.
There's one time for some reason at the end where Captain America just breaks the fourth wall and just smiles at you, and you're like, okay. I don't know, man. So talk some about like the film's pacing. Some of like they spend a lot of time in Italy for some reason.
Pacing, exactly. They
depict different people groups very weird. Like Canada is like no man's land, I guess. I don't know. You want to talk some about like the different places and pacing and stuff that happened in the film?
Yes, apparently Alaska is far away enough, so it's like but the pacing was just so slow. Like it wasn't a bad pacing, it just felt like I was watching a movie from like the silent era. It's like, what is happening? Like, I kind of get your idea, let's move on to touch on some things that we just need to move on with. But there wasn't, they would go from Australia to the white pickup truck from the reporter that's the friend of the president because they were friends when they were kids. And how did he get there? How did he travel so fast in his little white pickup
that was made by Volkswagen? Like, you know what? I'm going to go to Canada because that's where Cap's.
And I'm just going to find
Rogers
him.
Ran away to Cap.
Yeah.
Because Canada's a real small place. Easy to run into each other.
Canada.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I'm so confused.
And then And then Captain America has a fake car sickness.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, fake car sickness to steal a car. Yeah.
It's so funny. It's like, what is, who is this guy? I don't
know. And that's like his superpower. Like, he's clever like that.
Yeah. Oh, because he doesn't really get any bigger or small. Like,
no,
like,
he did not. You're right.
He has no budget. He doesn't get any bigger. He doesn't get faster because he still has to like steal kids' bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, all that happened is he got like a really silly outfit that they're like, I guess he doesn't know anything about camouflage. Like, oh, well, it's fire resistant. And not a single time does he interact with fire once after mentioning that the suit is fire resistant.
Yeah.
Like, why even bother mentioning it? But okay. Yeah, it is so all over the place. Even the effects are just wild. You have like a Red Skull mouse at the beginning.
Yes. What was that little demon cat thing?
That was so funny.
That was wild.
But yeah, I think it was crazy because like the beginning felt like really rushed. And then the part where like he's just roaming around Italy trying to find Red Skull's name, super slow. And
now I'm
like,
that I think
I would
about
have rather
it?
Had more in that like relationship so we knew who Steve Rogers was. Because it's a very different Steve Rogers. He's not from Brooklyn. He's from a beach in California, I guess. Like, it's those kind of things. I'm like, why would you even change that? Like, why not just Brooklyn? Yeah. I mean, you're not making elaborate sets. Just say it's Brooklyn.
The now that I'm thinking about the pacing, it felt so weird. But now I see some context for it. What year was the Hulk TV show? That was the late 80s, right? Probably when this was being made. It has that vibe now that I think about it.
Yeah.
That a loner traveler vibe. So maybe they were trying to pick up on that.
Yeah. Well, and there was like a TV show movies of like Captain America.
Yeah,
like
where before he has the motorcycle and stuff like that.
And those are weird too, because like in a way this is more accurate to the comics than that, because at least here, you know, it kind of gives the story of like the Red Skull and it's like some of the background where you're like, okay, it makes sense. And that is just gonna like, he's a guy who wears a suit with stars and stripes, you know, like, okay, sure. Motorcycle, okay, yeah, why not? Yeah, I don't know, man.
It was cool to hear, like, oh, sorry,
no, you go ahead.
No, that it was cool to hear him mention of Superman and some other Marvel characters too.
Yeah.
So
well, originally,
that was fun.
I think it was the director on this project was originally supposed to do Superman 4 or the one after that.
Oh.
And then, you know how those went. So
yes,
she was like, I'm doing this instead. And I'm like, well, I think I know how that Superman movie would have went. No, but man, it was so all over the place. It was wild. Comparing it to other stuff, too. One of the things interesting is I do feel like some of the MCU Captain America stuff still does some nods to this, which is a little weird. Like some of the like trash can lid stuff. I'm like, did the MCU intentionally mimic some of the, like, there's just really specific things. I'm like, I think maybe they were giving a nod to it, even though it wasn't great. It's still like, that's a lot of people. Probably this was their first experience to Cap. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to, with this series, we're always asking like, why do you think it got such a low rating? I think we kind of covered that. And it seems like we both agree that it deserves a low ranking because like the pacing, the acting, the scenarios are just wild and make no sense. What's the best thing that you think you can say about this film?
That it had two of the same actors from A Christmas Story. That was my favorite part of it. And I got really excited when I saw them.
Yeah.
The mother and the father, they are both in it.
Yeah. Well, there are, like, I'm going to talk about later, there's a few actors who are really solid in this film. I don't know, man. I think the best thing I can say about this is, oh, man, it's really rough. I don't know, man. It gives Red Skull more of a background than he usually gets, even if I think it's a crazy background that was unnecessary because he's always been German. Why is he Italian now? But he gets more of a background. And I do like our villains to have like a purpose, you know, like they're not just showed up one day and are like, yep, I like Hitler, you know?
Sure.
Like, I think that was kind of interesting. I'll give him that. Yeah. So we're talking about like what we love and don't love. And one of the things I want to bring up, because I actually do love the performance of Ned Beatty in Ronnie Cox. I think I want to say Ned might have been the guy in the pickup truck.
He was the reporter. Yeah.
He's a Great actor. He did really well in this. Yeah. Ronnie Cox as the president. Fantastic. And if you were to isolate that story and take it out of Captain America. Yeah. Like a kid who saw a hero, was inspired, grew up. He went to the military. He did all this stuff. He becomes the president. And he's like, hey, I genuinely care about things. Like they show him caring about the environment, caring about like making real policy. And I was like, if we were to just isolate that character, that part was pretty good. Yeah. But yeah, it was cheesy. And also, worst speech ever. Vote me for president.
Oh my goodness.
Stuff to help the environment. What but the also, it's going to suck. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And we're all going to hate our lives. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll vote for that guy, I guess.
Yes. Like, yeah. Wow. That was funny.
Yeah, but other than that, I really feel like his character was the highlight for me. Because, like, he actually, the president actually beat up some bad guys. Cap really doesn't. Cap just runs away the whole time. I don't understand. He gets shot at a lot. He throws his shield and just completely misses every time. And it makes this weird sound effect when he throws the shield.
Yeah. It was so loud in the mix, too. I was like, ah.
Yeah, it's every louder than the bullets. And we're like,
yeah. Why?
Oh, man. If you had to try to convince someone to watch this, how would you do it? Like, would you have to trick them? Or could you just tell them, like, it's so bad, at least some of the time you'll laugh? Like, when I saw the mouse, I did laugh. And when it was revealed that the piano was a bomb, I got a good chuckle out of it, you know? Like, all right.
I don't know, man. Like, just an exercise of trying to find the good. That's pretty much it. I don't know. Because I was finding excuses for it all, but still, it doesn't excuse how bad it is, you know?
Yeah. Just overall, the writing. There's a reason it didn't get greenlit for theaters. And I think, the writing. A lot of the acting, especially by Captain America, the Captain America character himself is kind of a flop. The costumes, even, I'm like, his eye holes didn't even line up. I'm
like, that was horrible. That looks so.
It's just, there's so much with it that I'm like, ugh. And the fact that you basically, you have to buy it to watch it right now. Like, if it was free somewhere, I might could feel better about being like, hey, guys, watch this just for the laughs. But telling someone they should watch this, knowing that they're going to have to pay money to watch it, I'm like, no, don't, actually. It's not worth a single dollar, in my opinion.
It used to be on YouTube, a small
and that
little
would be worth it.
Time stamp, a little postage stamp version. Yeah, that's how I saw it. I remember seeing that back in the day.
Yeah, it has a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right on.
Would you give it higher or lower?
I would give it maybe 10 just for
that's what I was thinking. Still higher than rotten.
Yeah. 10 is like a good, like you did something, like, thank you for doing something for us nerds to talk about 30 years later.
Cause like back then you had nothing. There was no Captain America. Right. So like, that's still cool. And also I still have to reiterate, I think Ronnie Cox did such a good job with what he was given. So I was like, you know, I'll give him a 10 just for him. And I'm going to even put, like, I'll put it in the review. Like, this is only for Ronnie Cox. He got 100. Everyone else got a 0 that averaged to a 10 somehow.
Yeah.
So, you know, we always like to, like, dig a little bit deeper here. So I think one of the cool parts of the film, going back to Ronnie Cox as the president and Red Skull. So both of them have these childhood events, right? So in this movie, Red Skull watches his parents die and he's filled with hatred. And that's what fuels him to be that. And that's where we had that line that I said at the beginning. We'll see if your kind heart, Captain America, is as strong as my evil name, which sounds super cheesy and either like a line from Kingdom Hearts or like the world's campiest, like, satire of a superhero movie ever. But kind of wanted to ask, especially as a father, your opinion when it comes to, like, how much do our childhood events really shape us? Like, because we see this contrast of, like, this one kid saw Captain America and that inspired him to become the president and a hero. And another kid saw this trauma, which fueled him with rage to become Red Skull with a piano bomb evil castle. I don't know. But, like, how much do you think, like, this kind of stuff as a child actually fuels who we are as we grow?
Only if you are given the perspective of it, you know, because as a child, things just happen and you don't really have a perspective for the most part, unless you have some trauma and it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But from what Red Skull did, he probably had someone influence him and like, oh, now I'm going to become the bad guy because I'm going to just get revenge. Because, you know, kids, they live in their context. But But that's
like trauma piled on with being raised by Nazis from that point on. I mean,
he
didn't have a prayer.
No.
Yeah.
He was just a product of his time, and he took it to an extreme.
You know? With the piano.
Yeah. With the piano. that little activation clock thing, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was a cool design.
It looked cool. Yeah. There were a few things I was like, looked kind of cool. I don't know, man. Even as like, because I think both of us would say we kind of like deconstructed our own face as we grew up. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I even can't even say like the Christianity my parents grew me up in formed me. But I do think a lot of their message of like, hey, if anyone tells you different than the Bible or different from this stuff, like live by your convictions. I mean, that kind of stuff still stuck with me. So I think it kind of depends. You know, everyone is their own person, but also you are going to be a product of your time. So it's a little bit of both. And I hate to be
totally,
that guy, but I'm like,
totally, yeah.
I don't think that only seeing Captain America reroute, missile is going to, you're definitely going to be the president now. You know, like there's going to be different stuff along the way that forms you.
Yes.
And, you know, it makes for a movie, say,
but yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some of our friends would say we're all in a process of becoming something like that. Right.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. The other thing is like, do you think Cap serves as an icon alone? Because like in this film, he doesn't really do anything heroic. He doesn't save anybody. He doesn't win the fights. But his biggest accomplishment is really just that he inspired people. And do you think that's enough? Or does he actually have to be a hero too for us to be like, yeah, this is cool?
If you think inspiring one child and he becomes the president of the free world, if that's inspiring people, then yes. Yeah. But that's really all. Like, even with his relationships with the love of his life and later her daughter, he doesn't really do anything. He doesn't really affect their lives. He's
also just really weird.
Kind of shows up and becomes that weird, awkward uncle that kind of showed up out of nowhere. Yeah. That your family has some history with, but not really. You know, it's
for like, sure. Yeah. I mean, thinking about it, like for myself, like honestly, if all I ever do is inspire one person who makes that big a difference in the world, sweet. Like I'm cool with that. I would rather also think that maybe I accomplished some things and stood up for people. But if all I did was inspire one other person who did greater things,
yeah,
that's awesome. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I still think it's more fun to watch Captain America actually punch Hitler in the face and then maybe inspire people on the way. But if all you do is inspire one other person, that can be enough to be a hero, mm-hmm. maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. Well, do you have any other thoughts before we wrap this drive-in up for our 4th of July friends?
That I'm glad I finally saw it again in a new context. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Now that you have something to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. It's great to compare things. You'd be like, man, I'm glad we have the MCU. Maybe it'll help people like Captain America Brave New World more if they watch that first.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, hey, you know, we're asking every time, what's a weird snack that maybe people wouldn't think of to bring to the drive-in that actually might be the perfect snack if they thought about it?
Fruit roll-ups. Because they can last a while. Or you just kind of shove them in your mouth. But
accurate. Weirdly enough, depending on when you go, but like right now with these hot southern days, I can't help but think of like more refreshing stuff. Like I don't want chocolate or popcorn and stuff that's going to make me thirsty. I'm thinking maybe just a big thing of grapes.
Grapes.
Might be great, actually.
Those are bubblegum grapes would think of that now. Yeah. Those are cool.
Ooh, now we're on something.
Yeah.
Now we're on something. I love it. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you, Evan. Thank you, listeners, for your time. We hope you would consider rating and reviewing our show on Podchaser, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. You know, that helps the show a lot with algorithms and all that stuff. Yeah. Again, if you want to hear other rotten films and us talk about them, down below in the show notes, we'll have a link for that description, for the whole playlist in the description. And remember, guys, of course, we need you to remember we're all a chosen people. A geekdom, a priest. Later. Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff, like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and we really, it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.